Hey, everybody.
Hi, hi.
I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry.
Oh, I don't have my tissues with me. I'm in trouble.
I am not, I can tell you right now, I'm not gonna make it through. But I'm really excited about spending this time together. I have some things that I want to do with you. I want to, and we'll get plenty of time to just talk kind of in the middle. But I want to start out by sharing my screen and walking you through some of the resources I am leaving you with that are available to you that you might not be aware of. And we are going out to head over to the website. Now, this is the regular Evers Bible Class website. Something I want you to be aware of is that with the conclusion of the Gentle Ramble Through the Bible series, all these class series, I'm going to be rebranding this website to be rather than Evers Bible Class, it will be Pastor in the Wild. So my email address will change to Gail at pastorinthewild.org. I will put this in the email that I send out after class. It's going to have all links and all kinds of things. But this is just my main website. And in this website, under classes, you'll find the Gentle Ramble, my two web pages on grief, although you actually find better, more complete information on my Substack. If you're looking at the grief, you might want to go to the Substack instead. There's a grief menu there, and you can kind of scroll back to the beginning and read the pieces you want. There is a page where I will keep my sermons. Right now, I have only just got one out there because it didn't occur to me to record my sermons. But that is what I will do after the Bible classes are over. I will just preach. I do pulpit supply. There are some other classes out there that are older, way old from my evangelical days, but they're good. They're not bad, and they're a way to look at scripture. So I left them out there. They're all podcasts. They're not videos like the Gentle Ramble series are. And then there's a page that just deals with the clobber verses that our LGBTQ siblings have to manage. But for right now, I'm going to focus on Gentle Ramble since this is specifically for a Gentle Ramble through the Bible. If you go to the Gentle Ramble through the Bible page, you will find a set of tabs right in the middle. And there is a tab for the Hebrew Bible with links to each of the class series within that. There's a tab for the Apocrypha, a tab for the life of Jesus and all the class series that dealt with his life, including Sermon on the Mount, a tab for Acts and Paul, all of his work and all of our classes on that. Then there is a little arrow. You have to click over to another arrow to get to the tab on other apostles. So you get Hebrews, the other apostles, and Revelation are all there. If you scroll right below that, there is a click to the full index of classes and scripture references. You can also get to that same place by clicking on any of these tiles in any of the tabs, because on every single class series page, I have the index of classes, which is that's the same index, so you can get to it anywhere. You can also, though, get to the study guide for that class series. All of the videos and podcasts are just the audio version. I highly recommend watching the video versions. There's a million ways to get to everything, and you can go from here back to the Gentle Ramble and pick any other class series you want. So you can pick. You can start anywhere if you want to go back and relook at a class series. And in self-defense, I do kind of want to say that when I started this, I was wrestling with the technology. I was wrestling with the study guides. I had thought the study guides would be something people would study during the week in advance. So they were really long. They were intended to last a whole week. Silly me. So as soon as I realized that was not happening, I skinnied them way down to try to be just one page a week, that because I realized people were not looking at them in advance, and I didn't always get them down to one page. But I particularly thank Julia for calling this out and reminding me when they were getting too long. I can get a little bit enthusiastic about this stuff. So let's take a look. I want to look at this index of classes and scripture references, because it's pretty powerful stuff. Now, it is a big file. I have a Mac that runs fast crazy. It may take a little longer for it to load on your machine, depending on the capabilities of your machine. There is a table of contents that is just like those tabs. It's the same series, but when you go to the tab, instead of going, instead of it looking like it does on my website, you get kind of a table form where you can see each tab. It's the same descriptions that are on my website. It's the same links to the video, the podcast, and the study guide. The only difference is that these links will take you to the study guide for that exact class rather than the study guide for the Genesis series, the whole series, for example. And wherever you are in this table of contents, as you scroll down, you can scroll down, to all of the classes if you wish. But at every new class series, you'll see a green bar. And there's also a quick link back to the table of contents, so you can get right back to where you started very easily. Now, here's something you may not be aware of. In addition to every class series, I have indexed the scriptures for you. So if you're looking for a particular passage in a particular book, you can go to that book, click on it, and see every place where I covered those particular scripture passages, and there's a hot link to the class that I did it in. So if you want to, you're looking something up in 2 Chronicles 1 through 9 or any of these other references, you will find a link, a quick link to it in the study guide. So if we go back to our table of contents, just to for ease of navigation, you can hit that, you can reach that scripture index at the beginning of it, or you can scroll down, same scripture index at the bottom of it. I want to point out a couple of other things here in the scripture index, and that is that I never did do Obadiah. If you click on Obadiah, you'll just find a little note that's saying that book is by a prophet who was probably a contemporary of Jeremiah's. His material was a lot like Jeremiah's, so I did not cover anything Obadiah in class in particular. I may have done a random quote from him, but that's about it. The other thing to notice is that in the Psalms, let's go up here and find our Psalms. They're going to be up here. We did not cover Psalms as a separate book in class because the Psalms were like David's personal journal. It was, and there were also songs written for David by other people, songs praising him as a king and songs for special events. But if you go to this scripture index and you click on Psalms, you'll find this reference link to a Psalm index. This Psalm index I put together for you, and it is color-coded according to who wrote it, whether David wrote the Psalm or whether it was written by the sons of Korah or Asaph or Solomon, whatever, Songs of Ascent. Psalms are divided into books, and each book concludes with the phrase, Amen and amen. The last two book, the first three end with amen and amen. There's five books. The last two end with praise the Lord. And that's just, that's where scholars divide them up. But should you care, I put which book a psalm is in. I also did a little quick topic kind of thing for you, so you can see the topics of each psalm, whether it was a refuge or about ruling or about the good versus the wicked. I have the number of the psalm, the color coding of who wrote it, these green ones being David. And then I just kind of did a quick one phrase, here's what's in this psalm, here's the theme of the psalm. And then in the last column, if I knew or could tell that this psalm addressed a particular passage in the Bible in David or Solomon's or whoever's life, I put that passage reference over here in this column. This is a really powerful tool, not the least of which is that it is filtered. So see these little triangular menu-looking things to the right of each column? You can actually filter on the topics by clicking that. You can sort, you can filter. And so, for example, I can clear all the filters and just go through and look for, I just want to see everything that is a psalm of praise. So I click that, I scroll all the way down and hit OK. And then you will only see it will filter for you on the psalms that were psalms of praise. And you can just go quickly to them. If you want to unfilter, just go back, click that little funnel, say select all 31, okay. Try to leave it for the next guy, leave it unfiltered. The other thing to know is that at the very bottom of the Psalm index are some Psalms that were not included in our Western Protestant Bibles. We touched on one or two of these in class. But I give you a link to those Psalms, which are only found in the Syriac version. It's one of the Eastern versions of the Bible. So that's a pretty, I think that's pretty cool. That was a lot of work. I wanted you to be aware that it was. We also did not cover Proverbs in class because there's no story there. You're on your own with Proverbs. And that is it for that index of classes. I think the only other thing I wanted to show you was a study guide. So let's go over to, oh, I don't know, Acts and Paul. The early study guides, I built the reference material slowly. And once I got to the later classes, the reference materials kind of solidified. So if you're looking for reference materials, I would go to the Revelation study guide and get to them from there. You would have seen, noticed these in your study guides as we go along. So this is just Revelation, looks really normal. I just don't know if you've actually clicked on this reference tools for your backpack bit. Within that is kind of a table of contents of what you can find in the reference materials. And the link to the actual reference materials document is in every study guide. And again, it's got your table of contents so you can quickly hop to whatever you want to look for. I'm just going to scroll through real here so you see what's there. There is a reference where I've collected all of our tools in our toolkits and organized them for you and explained them to you. So this text, first thing you would do if you've got a difficult passage, something that doesn't resonate, something that doesn't sound like God, first do the textual analysis. Check the footnotes in your study Bible. Look at the original language. Check other translations. Look to see, if Jesus is speaking, what title he's using for himself, because that will give you a clue as to what the meaning of this passage is, what the context is. Do a literary analysis, pull back, check where the passage is within the story itself. Make sure you're not just reading it in a vacuum, read what came before, read what came after. If it's still out of place, look to see if there is a particular literary device in use. Is it part of a chiasm, an intercalation? We covered all of those in class. So you can look that particular passage up in the scripture index, find the class it's in, go look at that class. Another thing is to look for points of emphasis. Look to see if the passage begins, contains, or ends with, I am the Lord. That was a literary exclamation point, bolding, used in the Hebrew Bible, especially in the first part of it. Another important marker is Day of the Lord. You know what that means. Recognize that genealogies are in particular places in a story, usually where a significant character is entering or exiting a story. You'll see the lists of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were more than 12 tribes. So which tribes are listed is important. And think about, could it be an allegory? I give you a class reference there. Look at the characters. The first words of dialogue a major character speaks, that they speak by themselves, not as a group, are usually a pointed indicator of their character, its strengths or its fatal flaws. Look at who the characters are. Do characters drop in that don't seem to belong there? That can give you a hint. And once you've done that, look, do a historical analysis. What is going on in the world at this time? Who's governing Israel? How close are they to being destroyed? Or is this back new in their history at the beginning? What is God dealing with them? Have they had time to incorporate other religions of the day? I have identified some other things, information, especially in class 18, about how to approach the Mosaic Law, how to use a different lens, what scholars call a hermeneutic. It's just a big word that means lens. Remember that the kingdom of God is upside down, and stop reading it from a Western point of view. Do a Saint Ignatius exercise on the story. Read it several times. Stand in the shoes of different characters in the story, the good ones, the bad ones, the rich ones, the poor ones. These are ways to mine the meaning of a story. And if none of that works, then you move to subjective tools. Remember that we are all made in God's image. Think about how God would is responding in the passage. Think about how, run it through the lens of Jesus' teaching of love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, are you loving yourself? And then if nothing else has worked, just sit down and reflect on it. Offer it to God. Ask God for discernment, for prodding, for ideas, for resources. Put all of it together in a stew. Let God bring to mind association, mental association with characters, themes, other keywords. And you know what? If none of that happens, if you can't find this passage resonating with any thread or recurring motif in scripture, chances are it's a passage you don't need to be paying a lot of attention to, nor hanging a lot of theology from. But if you sense that it is important, if it is important and none of these things make sense, put it on a shelf. Just leave it before God. Let it sit there, because that means you are not ready yet to understand that passage, that God needs to walk you through some more of life before that passage is going to make sense. But below the toolkit are a bunch of specific tools. There's a map of where the different nations were in the region, the nations named in the Hebrew Bible, and that's followed by a little chart with just a brief description of each one, a couple of links, things like that. There is a page on free and low-cost tools available to you for your Bible research. These are all still good. I have a page on my website called Resources where I demonstrate using these tools. There is a section in your reference materials on the 12 tribes of Israel. And like the nations above, it talks about who they are and gives you it's just a table that gives you a little bit of background on each of the tribes and who their mother was. There were four different mothers. The index of the Psalms, this is that same index of Psalms I just took you through. You can reach it through your reference materials. If you're studying in Chronicles and Kings, you will really appreciate this table of kings because after Israel split by civil war, they had kings in the north, kings in the south. It got really confusing. So this have this table next to you as you study those because it not only gives you the names of the kings, all of the kings of the north were in red, all of the kings of the south are in blue, but I did include the names of the prophets sent to each of these kings. That's very helpful information. So some of these prophets wrote books, some of them didn't. Most of them didn't. So you can see there, you can see Obadiah. We think he was prophet to King Jehoram in around 848. So you see the timelines, you see which kings were in power as their corresponding kings came to power or left power or were killed or whatever over their time frames. In this is the complete table as you if you're doing the Bible class series during that happened during these kings' reigns. The tables in each of those study guides are abbreviated. I only built the table out as we went along. So this is a perfect example of if you want the whole thing, be sure you're going to the table and reference materials that you access through the Revelation study guide. It has the entire enchilada. That is followed in your reference materials by some specific tips on making sense of the prophets of when you're reading a prophetic book like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Joel or any of them. This page would be a great place to come and start. Just read through this chart because I give you kind of a bird's eye view of the structure of every prophetic book. They all follow pretty much this little 7 or 8 point structure. So that can be very helpful. And let's see. Then there is a table of Jeremiah in order. Jeremiah, the book, is all jumbled up. And in fact, if you look at the Septuagint, it's in a different order than the Western Bibles have Jeremiah, than our He and then the Hebrew Bibles have Jeremiah. So I did a quick table to help you understand how to find the story chronologically, and indicated that in sometimes it's like certain verses go here and other verses go there. So that's helpful if you're studying Jeremiah. Obviously, I put some quick comments to the side as to what you'd find in each passage. Skim through. Then we get to the Maccabees. Maccabees, there are several books of Maccabees in the Apocrypha, and First and Second Maccabees overlap and interweave, intertwine. This reference will disentangle the Maccabees for you. And of course, because a gentle ramble through the Bible is that trademark is for stories of the Bible that are told chronologically. If you want to hear any story chronologically, you would go to the Gentle Ramble series and pull those classes. So I did cover them chronologically in our classes. This table refers as little yellow bars indicating which class you can find these particular stories in. Skim through all that, all the way to the end of the Maccabees. That was there's a lot of Maccabees. There's a lot to those stories. It was a huge interregnum period in between the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, in between the Old and the New, and we don't study it near enough. Okay, after that, obviously comes the Gospels, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all cover the same stuff, and so I used Luke as the anchoring timeline, and then just showed how the other gospels interleave in here. So I moved Luke where passages where I needed to, highlighted them in yellow. But generally speaking, if you want to see where Jesus born in Bethlehem, I've given you Matthew, nothing in Mark, Luke, and John, the passages where you would go to find that. I'm giving you a brief little description over to the side and an indication of which class you would find that in. So you can go through. The blue bars are different class series. So a blue bar is a class series. The yellow bars are the classes inside that series. So we can go on through the Gospels. Long. Going through the Gospels, lots and lots and lots of stuff. Very interesting. Resurrection is in all four Gospels. End of Gospels. Then we get to Acts and Paul. I have a little box here where I talk to you about which are undisputed letters, which ones are definitely not written by Paul, and which ones are probably not written by Paul. That's Colossians and Ephesians. But you could go either way on those. And then it's a similar deal. You've got the blue bars for the series, the yellow bars for the classes, but what this gives you is the date. It gives you a small little blurb as to what's happening at each date and in each passage, all the way through Acts, through there's the stoning of Stephen, Saul's conversion. And then you can see as the story of Acts continues, I've got the date markers there for you. And I also indicate where each book, like First and Second Chronicles, are written. I will indicate, when churches were established. I show the, where they're going, when they're traveling. I give you that information. When a missionary journey ends, when some of the important councils happen. There's where he wrote Paul's letter to the Galatians. So tons and tons of great information in this. Let's see if there's anything beyond that. I'm going to scroll through here really fast. And that's it. That's the end of the reference materials. That is a huge amount of information for you. And I just wanted you to know it was there. I just didn't want all that work to go to waste. I'm going to
So, Gail, is that all? That was a joke.
Oh yeah, you're bad. That's you're really, really, really bad. There, that is not all. There is so much more in this website. If you click on here, you'll find links to everything. The other classes. I really strongly recommend sticking with the gentle ramble, but if you're interested in other classes, there's a couple of older sermons and talks that I gave, stuff I talk about tithing, just, there's all kinds of stuff if you want to poke around on the website. Is that all? Shame on you. All right, I'm gonna stop
Gail,
sharing.
when you get a second, Gail, you need to go through and read all the chats that we were talking about while you were going through this. Because you just blew us away.
It's amazing.
I did not think you all knew that was all out there. So,
You are correct. We did not.
okay. All right. So I have not left you alone out there.
Look at Ellen's beautiful face. We haven't seen that beautiful face in so long.
Yes.
We love you. We love you. So many beautiful faces. That is something I will really, really, really miss. And so now is the time. to talk about what was the study guide quote that I sent you, which is, what have been your takeaways from this class, theological or not? And you can just go in any order, talk about anything you want to talk about at this point. I do want to start, though, by reading you a couple of takeaways from people who wanted to be here and could not. One is from Susan Cottrell. This Bible class was formed because at the time, this was during COVID. We started this Bible class during COVID, remember? And at the time, I was chaplain for freedhearts.org, which is Susan and Rob Cottrell's ministry. And it was there that I ministered to mainly to moms who were in the early days of their kids having come out as gay, or bisexual or trans or whatever, somewhere on that LGBTQ spectrum. And they were mainly moms from conservative backgrounds who were faced with the very high risk of losing their faith communities, losing their spouses, losing their families, losing their adult children, if they did not reject their gay child. And my work was part of Sue. This is where Susan's work is. This and the moms helped each other, where moms who had been through it for a year or two stayed on to help the moms who were brand new and still in the bathroom throwing up. This Bible class was born just at the end of my work there as their chaplain, when a group of moms said, I cannot find a reliable Bible study that is serious. I feel like I've been led down the rosy path all my life. I need something else, but how do I know I'm not being led down the rosy path again? I cannot find one. And the moms were saying, I can't either. And I was like, I can do that. And that is how this Bible class was formed. And that is why we went from the beginning to the end. That is, I remember there were moms I had to promise personally, and other moms who knew me had to promise the moms that I would not hurt them, but that I would be a reliable and trustworthy guide.
That became the path for Erica and I too. You were a reliable and trustworthy guide in that context, which is Erica and I actually stalked Pastor Gail because of her reliable and kind responses. And then that was what led us to here. So on that, Eric, this is Erica as a part of our day today. And she wanted to wish you all of her love. She poked in earlier, but we were already doing stuff. So we are blessed recipients of that starting point as well. So
Yeah, that is how we met, because there within the freedhearts.org is a Facebook group for people who are LGBTQ, and I was on that thread as well, responding to their messages of pain usually. And that's where Ellen and Erica and I connected, and then they came to this class. So Susan Cottrell has followed every single class. And she and I have talked about them, and she wanted me to give you this message. I have loved sharing this class with you all. I've done them all and loved everyone's reactions and insights. Wish I could be there with you, but know that I have enjoyed getting to know you through the class and appreciate you all. With much love, Susan. And then Marlene could not be here today. And so she also sent a message. She said, my big takeaway from this class, in addition to the excellent toolkit, the excellent scholarship, and the relationships I have enjoyed with all of you these past 6 years, was something Gail said in our very first class. According to the ancient writers of the Hebrew Bible, Something did not need to be factually accurate to be true. Mind blown. Everything makes so much more sense when I return to that statement. And so there we are. They kicked us off. What have been your takeaways as you reflected on these years together?
Uncle.
Julia's here with you. Come here, Julia. Come close. Hi, everyone.
Yay. Hi, Julia.
Come on closer.
I think the most important thing that I took is, like Marlene said, the toolkit. And I think knowing that you have to think about when you're dealing with talking to people about the Bible, where are they coming from? And how can you meet them where they are? Because that's what Jesus does with us.
That's a big one.
Renee had something.
Yeah. Okay. Gail, the main takeaway for me is that you taught me that just because I've been told something about the Bible someplace else doesn't make it the feelings of how people have, you know, women shouldn't be in church. And, you know, because I came from a really stringent background after Jeff and I got married, where I hadn't had that before. And so I just kind of drank the Kool-Aid because that's all I knew. And you taught me that I can think for myself. I myself get the interpretation I'm supposed to have, not what somebody tells me I have to have. And for a while after all of the blow up that we had in Colorado, and then we moved down here and got in the same trap, a couple different churches, you helped me be open, and I found a church in New Braunfels that I've been going to.
Oh, Renee, that's wonderful.
It's Faith United Church of Faith. Oh, I don't remember. It's an LBGQ2.
UCC, Faith UCC.
Yeah, it's wonderful and accepting, and I'm not an outsider there.
Oh, Renee.
So I just wanted to say thank you.
I love you. Oh, so much, so much. You were one of the ones who was scared to death to come to this class.
Yeah.
You were one of the ones I had to promise that I would not hurt you.
So I just wanted to say thank you. And I'm going to miss you all. And I know there's been some talk about maybe starting over and learning everything, you know, seeing the different views that we have now than we did then. So I'm looking forward to that. But.
And I will leave the class link available to you every Thursday at this time, should you wish to use it.
Cool. Oh, that's Thank awesome. You guys so much, all of you. You guys all mean so much to me.
Yeah, I won't be sending it out anymore, but you all have the link. And at any point that you decide you want to get together and do a series, you absolutely can.
And
should be set where somebody can share the, you know, video. And if you have any trouble with the settings, let me know.
Echoing what Marlene and Renee said and Julia, I'm not going to repeat all the things they said, but all those things are pretty much true for me as well. And, you know, I was one of those moms at the beginning that came out of Freed Hearts.
Yep.
And there's several of us that are still in here.
It's amazing to me how many people made it through all of this from the beginning.
And, you know, we all came into this with maybe trepidation a little bit. But I came into it not worried. Like I don't think Gail had to reassure me that she wasn't going to lead me astray, but
You came into
I
it
had a
with
viewpoint. I had a very strong viewpoint. And during some of the first classes, I remember thinking, oh, Gail, there's no, huh? No, I know that can't be right. And through this class, I have learned that some of the things that I questioned when I wasn't allowed to question things, but there were things along my life, even as a teenager, I remember thinking that does not make sense. Why are they teaching us that? That doesn't fit with what I understand God. But I learned to stifle that because that was from Satan. Satan's putting those thoughts in my head, and I'm not allowed to have those
Not
thoughts.
allowed to question.
Exactly. And what this class did for me, Susan, that you mentioned earlier, helped free my heart. But Gail, this class helped free my mind. And being able to have an open heart and an open mind
Oh, that's
has
huge.
been incredible. And to be able to say, I'm crying. I said I wasn't gonna. Here I am. To be able to say, that doesn't fit my understanding of God. And then look into it and go, oh, because it didn't say that. It says this. Oh my. I'm not often lost for words, but my words are gone now. So go ahead, somebody
That's
else.
amazing, Shirley. Just, I mean, I think you have so clearly grown and just gained confidence. I think that Christians who have had experience like you and Renee and perhaps others have are enter the world, I think, with a very hard shell and no confidence behind it. Very often. Now, this is not some, don't take blanket statements, but it's really important to me that we as Christians be able to not have a hard shell, for one thing. That's really important. But that we be congruent from the inside all the way to the outside, all the way to our lives, right? And this is what I saw happening in your life in particular, during these classes. That's just wonderful.
It's part of that, we're supposed to love the Lord with our entire body, our entire soul, our entire mind, and, or some people would say heart and mind, but that's what this class has congruency. I love that word. That it's allowed us to, or allowed me anyway, to bring those things to be a whole person. To be able to love the Lord with my entire body, my entire heart, and my entire mind.
That's
And I
wonderful.
think, I always loved the Lord with my heart. And that's what we're taught in those Baptist churches,
And
that
we
we're supposed to
do,
love the Lord with our heart.
and they do love the Lord with their whole heart, Yes.
But to be able to also open your mind to what he has to teach you. I mean, we were always taught that we were supposed to be open to what God was teaching us. But if those teachings went against what our church was teaching us, we weren't allowed to do that. You weren't allowed to have an open mind. And I think it stifled us from being able to really be everything that God wanted us to be.
And that's the image that came to my mind as you were talking. We've used backpack imagery throughout this class, right? The image that came to my mind was of that, kind of kindergartner on a straight path with a small backpack that just has his lunch that his mama packed for him in it. And I think that very often we are controlled in our faith environments to keep us on that path because it is safe, you know, because it is safe. And if we start to climb on any rocks, we're shut down immediately. But my goal was to make you mountain climbers. I want you to be mountain climbers. I want you to be like Jesus and able to go after that 100th lamb that got lost in the ravine without being a danger to yourself or to that lamb. Right. Ah, Julie, y'all just go ahead. I'm not all here.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well, I have to say, I began this Bible study with a bit of arrogance. And that was basically because I was so enmeshed in the Catholic mindset and the Catholic culture. And, you know, we're always taught that we're the original Christians.
Well,
You know,
you
we can trace our lineage all the way back. You know, our priests can trace their lineage all the way back. And even though I wasn't practicing at that particular time, I was still had this very, very strong Catholic ideas of how I should be living my life. And then my journey with the Lutheran Church kind of just reinforced that because it was a very conservative Lutheran church and they followed many of the same practices. And I have to say that, especially with the Catholic, where tradition is as important as scripture, but we're not given the entire picture of the Bible. So even though I had sermons on that were very open-minded in many regards to the passages. I'm not really exposed to the entire Bible, and I think this has been a freeing thing for me. I was talking about, you know, being Catholic earlier, and I really am now not really associating myself with being a Catholic as much as I'm being a Christian. And my very favorite passage that the story that you told was about Joseph and his coat of many colors, and how you were calling it a princess dress. And, you know, for having a trans child, I mean, that was incredibly affirming for me that God really had a much broader perspective than what we are given. And it just relaxed me in many ways. And I'm not necessarily I'm going to an Episcopal church now. I like the traditions, but I'm kind of floating. You know, I'm a Christian. I believe in being the body and blood of doing work here to be Jesus to people on earth here. It's the basis of my humanity. But I don't have to label myself as a particular denomination. And I think that to me has been very freeing. So thank you.
Oh, that is huge. And I have to share with you that I was talking to my therapist about this yesterday, because as you can imagine, this is a huge threshold in my life as well. She was she w we were talking about, you know, what do I call myself? And she offered just this fabulous term. I told her it's going to probably show up in one of my Substacks soon. Unboxed. I am unboxed. That's what I am. That's what kind of Christian I am. That's what I identify with. I am an unboxed Christian.
I like that.
Yeah.
Who else would like to say something? Lumar?
I was just going to say, I'll comment. The biggest takeaway for me probably has been the just extreme importance of context.
cultural context, historical context, and just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean we should do it. For example, child sacrifice. All these people say, well, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. I'm going to live my life that way. Well, I hope you're not going to go sacrifice your child. So I have really enjoyed knowing what the Hebrew says and what the Greek says and what was going on in the world at the time, and especially with Rome, because that was so big. That was such a big part of what was going on. And I have to admit, world history was never my favorite. That's probably the biggest. Also, that God is always, always, always love, always. And I think so many of us were raised with the harsh father. And having had a harsh father, I could buy into that. And it made it hard for me to see God as love always. But I can now. I can now because you kept showing us that and how true that was. And finally, the clobber verses became so important to me because of loved ones in my life that are, dealing with LGBTQ, issue and identity type things. And I love them. I love them. But I had been raised to think that all of that was wrong. And so, but I couldn't not love them. So, I was so happy to see those verses and to learn about that and to share it, because Gail actually gave me it in a format that I could share with those family members whose children and loved ones were dealing with those issues. So,
That page on my website came
yeah.
from Lamar's request.
And I don't remember who it was last week that recommended the book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, but I started reading it this morning while I waited for my procedure. And it is awesome. It is
That
just
was
awesome. It's
very
about
good.
Rembrandt's painting of the prodigal son. And I mean, that's one of my favorite parts of the Bible anyway, the prodigal son, the story. And so I'm enjoying it. Whoever recommended it,
With
thank you so
Mary.
much.
Yeah.
I think that was Mary.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm enjoying it. I can't wait to finish it.
I was not the one that recommended it, but I love that book too.
I can see it's going to be great. He kind of identifies himself in all three roles. The father, the son, the son that left, and the son that was there the whole time. And I kind of have that situation with my daughters, one who stayed when we divorced and one who left.
If I can add on, I shared this with Gail after we talked last week. And when we were talking about Revelation and it being the story of the prodigal son, the thing that struck me was to be cautioned not to be the son who stayed. When you're dealing with others and judging, because you never know what they're going through. And so that was something that occurred to me. I just didn't share it at the time. But there's the one who wanders, the ever-present father, and the one who says, "But I'm doing it all right." And we don't want to. I don't want to be that way, Martha.
I have gained a significant appreciation for women in the scriptures that I had some glimpse of before. It comes to mind here when Joy is talking about the prodigal son because of the women in that picture, the wife of the other brother and the mother. And they so now when I like I just saw a picture of the two people on the road to Emmaus
Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful picture?
portrayed as men, if I recall, it just passed by my face pretty quickly. But there's fairly good reason to believe that one of those is a woman. And I did some research on that some time back. One of the other things for me is that I have so much greater appreciation for why some folks hold fast in areas where we differ. I had no real understanding, no glimpse into it's one thing to be brought up in the faith, but indoctrination and abusive practices that some of the folks here have given me a glimpse of. It gives me, and I'm going to put the appreciation in air quotes, but how can I not? I mean, I just have I have some understanding now, some glimpse of why people are the way they are. And I'm thinking of a friend right now who's got a family member that somebody married into the family, and her struggle with that this woman is not interested in what my friend's life is like, except to correct her.
That's
But
a
I
hard
wish, I don't know that my friend has, and it's not her responsibility to, but I don't know that my friend has exposure to this kind of stuff in a way that would, one, protect her, right? And she is putting up some. But just in a some understanding of why some of the folks came into this group with what has ended up being things that you've been able to look at differently and share with us how hard that's been. I mean, sometimes those realizations came with a fair amount of pain. Sometimes they came with joy, but other times I heard and saw a lot of pain in that.
Thank you, Martha. Mary?
Mary, before you begin, I'm so sorry for interrupting, but I have to go. But I just want to let you know that the reason I'm going is because I am going to a company, their headquarters called Right Height, and they have one of those diversity or what are those are groups, you know, where they have anyway. So this particular group is for LGBTQIA issues, and I'm going to give them a presentation with another person on how to be an ally to LGBTQIA
Oh,
folks. And
wonderful.
then later, I really wanted to be there in person today, but I was not able because I had this speaking engagement. And then we also have a PFLAG meeting tonight on how to have religious conversations. So anyway,
How timely.
yes, very timely. Anyway, I'm so sorry, Mary, for interrupting, but I do have to go. Thank you
Love
very much.
you. Big
You as well.
love,
Thank you
Julie.
so much
Bye.
for all of this.
And Julie, just from Erica and I, we every week looked forward to your hair. Like, I mean, really, that it's something that's so little but so beautiful when you're the one looking for the rainbow. So just thanks for being you and being such an ally and advocate and being willing to even just share your personal journey with us, but particularly rocking the hair as you did.
Oh my
Like
God, that's wonderful.
when you're not looking for it, obviously it may not mean much, but for those of us who are looking for the safe place and the ally, it is a beacon of hope, a beacon of light and of safety. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you for telling me.
Oh, bye, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
right.
Love you.
Mary, you need to turn your mic on so we can hear you. There you go.
Or maybe not. I just wanted to say it. I came to the class late, so I missed a lot of, but I've gone back at times to try and catch up on everything that I did not get before I joined the group. And but I also wanted to say that you all aren't aware, because I never drawn attention to it, but every time I come to this class, I first put my hand on this Bible. Now you will look at this Bible and it is pretty tattered and torn. It has an elastic band around it holding it together. But it is precious to me. I, in a previous class, mentioned, I believe I'm in a number of groups, so if I'm redundant, I'm sorry. But there was a deacon in my church, in the Catholic Church, that helped me understand the concept of primacy of conscience, and which is, you looking inside yourself to the Christ that you're made in the image of, and knowing at some level, soul level, that this doesn't fit so much. Several people have said that today, that this freed up that ability to live in that place and appreciate it. We don't get here by not having those experiences, so I hold it all sacred. I have my issues with my tradition, and but it brought me to a place to open me up to different experiences, so I hold it all sacred. But my friend John comes to this class every time with me. I'm never alone. My friend John Lehigh is here. He's gone now. But he helped me so much move in my faith out of the traditional dogma and doctrine. He was a gift in my life. He was a teacher in my life. He was the pastor, Gail, at that time in my life when I needed that. And John was a reporter for Associated Press. And at
Wow.
that time, when I knew him, he had just come back to the States. He had been involved covering all the upheaval in Latin America, and he was in the trenches. And this Bible he carried with him. His wife told me, Joan told me, he carried his Bible, his notepad, and his pen on everything that he did. He had the Bible with him. And what he did when he was in foxholes and in all the places that he was covering this for a national organization, news organization, he wrote notes in passages. And I have all those notes in this Bible. And so when he passed away, his wife said, John, and he had 11 children, good Catholic family. They had 11 beautiful children. And she said, John wanted you to have the Bible
Wow.
that he carried with him because you were asking some of the same questions he was asking, only I was asking them of him. And so, Gail, you've become my John Lehigh. And is this not the fullest? It's all done from love. Everything John did was from love. And you have been my teacher through this. But I would say we need that role of a rabbi and teacher and leader and someone we trust. But we don't get there alone. We do it in community. And I want to thank each one of you. You have been Jesus with skin on. And let me give a recent example that I've carried all week. Shirley, when you talked about your recent need, and yet you responded to your neighbor, a man in your neighborhood with a child, you stepped out of yourself, your own need, and you were there for him. That to me is Jesus with skin on. I was talking to a young woman the other day, and she said, I just wish I was still in the same time of Jesus because that's who I want to see.
Sure.
And, you know, and I said to her, you got Jesus all around you. You got Jesus with skin on. Just we have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And I believe none of us are resurrected without all of us. I don't believe any one person is saved. I believe we are all saved. And we do it in community. We are the body of Christ. Christ has no body but ours. Teresa of Avila, we are the hands and feet. And Shirley, I want you to know I thought about that this week when I was talking to that young woman. But I could go around this circle and point to every person and tell you something. I have a good memory. It hasn't left me yet. And who are you? And what am I doing here? I don't know. but I can go around the circle. And during my journey with you through the Bible, every person at some point has been Jesus with skin on for me. Yeah. It happens in community. We don't do it alone. It reaffirms we are the body of Christ. Right?
Absolutely.
And you are hands and feet, as I am called to be. And I, Gail, thank you. And to each one of you, and to my friend John, he's right here with us. He's probably going, I've been trying to say that to you for a long time, Mary. I got it, John.
thank you, Mary. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I know I already talked, but I thought of something when Martha was talking, and then Mary kind of alluded to it as well. The fact that we all come from different backgrounds. We grew up in different communities, different economic levels, different careers. We are a very diverse group, and yet we are unified in Christ. And if this isn't the body of Christ, I don't know what is.
I know, right? We were so different coming into it. And I love that we are absolutely that much different coming out of it. This Bible class did not make us homogenous in any way, except in our understanding of who God is. Just even that, we express it so differently. We are all approaching God from different ways, you know, and perceiving different things. But I think that anytime you are you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you're being homogenized, that is a red flag, because God is all about the diversity that he created, right? And our strength is in our diversity. And so we should be becoming more expressive of our diversity rather than less if we're in a healthy, growing environment. Mm-hmm. 2 cents there. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Stephen wanted to say something.
Yes, I came late, but I'm so glad I got to see all of your faces again. You all have just brought so much joy and support and love into our lives. And this Bible study group and all of the lessons that we still have to go through online are just a sweet gift of wisdom and just, what is that saying? Fresh breath of air. What is it?
A breath of fresh air.
There it is. That one. in our life. And it's just been, we're grateful to God that we were a part of it and that we had that time period during our travels that we got to join and see and meet all of you in person. Well, some of you in person, we still got to meet some of you, but yeah, it's been a wonderful and a gift to us.
Yeah.
And we love you, Mama Gail.
I think too, I'm just grateful. I just remember Erica repeatedly bringing up every week humility, and I'm super grateful. Like our whole trajectory of our life has changed since getting to have a more expansive view of God's love. So, you know, and I just think of the way that you all, you know, back to diversity, This was like the group where we felt celebrated, and that was really cool. Like Woody, when we started calling Pastor Gil Mama Gil, Woody decided he could be Grandpa Woody, and that was so cool. And he gave us just the sweetest gift at Christmas with two hearts that were magnets that connected. And Sweet Mary, we went to the church and she gave us a rainbow heart for our Christmas tree. And Martha met us in Tucson, and we just continued to felt we hadn't felt we hadn't known what it was like to be celebrated. And that so thank you guys for doing that, and thank you for just walking with us as we were working through our stuff. And
We got to meet Julia a couple times.
And Pastor Gail, just thank you for being willing to also hold the Mama Gail space for us, while also the Pastor Gail. Like, we're just so blessed to have been a part of this community and been a part of the beautiful tapestry of the diversity in it has been really special. I didn't expect to cry.
So
You're
y'all are
okay.
so special. My husband talked to me forever after sitting and talking with y'all, telling me how wonderful you were. I'm like, I
Oh, I think Stephen wanted to say something.
Stephen. So did.
Yeah, this has been a special class for me. I know that I came in rather late, but when I found out about it, I had been like reading different books and stuff. I started with John Shelby Spong and Marcus Bloor, folks like that. And then as I got closer to starting this series, moved on to some more people like Rachel Held Evans and Pete Enns and stuff like that. And Richard Rohr. And I was kind of coming to the end of what I was able to get access to as far as books and stuff like that went. And I was like, man, I really just want just a good open Bible study, not one that's gonna do all the usual things, right? And I think I had commented somewhere on a Facebook page, and somebody was like, hey, go check this out. So then I found it and I started. It's like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I as well start from Genesis. And I listened all the way through and finally caught up with you all and joined in on the live discussions. And it's been something about the way in which Miss Gail approached the Bible, that not only with everything that I've learned before, but if I would have just had only this Bible study, I probably still would have walked away with some of the same feelings and places that I am now in my faith journey, because like I was really doing that deconstruction thing. And I was like, but the thing is I still know there's something to this. There's so many people that's out there that they get into deconstruction And they get so far into deconstruction that they just lose it. They just don't get it. They don't see the point. And I think that this Bible study and this group of people hearing your all's opinions, hearing the way that it has changed you all to let go of some of the things. Like, there's a lot of things in this that I had already personally had let go of, but like, what was the thing that took its place? And like, and that goes back to that whole thing of, I know that there is importance to this, but what is it? And so this has been my reconstruction, which, but I tell people, you know, the thing about deconstruction is it's not just about deconstruction. It's more like a remodel than it is demolition. There's
Yes.
dim in remodeling, but there's also rebuilding. And I think a class like this, which I think anyone could take to any church, Sunday school, any church, see, hey, here's some curriculum I think that we would really benefit from. And I think this is one level.
We're losing you, Stephen. I think you're going through a bad patch here. Oh, there you are.
That was it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. About to get ready to wrap this up. I've got a few more things. Sorry.
Oh, I think Julie has something she needs. Or
Yeah,
Julia, I'm.
Woody, you were going to say something?
Oh, well, there's, I don't have anything profound, but I was reminded of this story when you said we had started right after COVID started in 2020. And we spent that August of 2020 in a little town in Colorado, Grand Lake, Colorado. And I think you had said to us early on that you were going to be using the NIV version of the Bible, if that was the best. And I didn't have that. So one day we're taking a little road trip to some other small town down the road. And we stopped, we saw a bookstore and we stopped in and I was looking around and I saw a Bible. I picked up a Bible and it was the NIV. And so I took it over to buy it. And the woman behind the counter said, "Well, have you ever shopped here before at this store?" And I said, "Well, no." And she said, "Well, in that case, this Bible is free." So that's the Bible that I've used the last 6 years.
Oh,
How amazing.
that's amazing, Anne.
So I came into this class because my sister-in-law is a naggy broad and wouldn't back off.
You, Joe.
And I came in with a bit of a chip on my shoulder. I'm going to be very honest with you. I was raised that if you weren't Catholic, you were wrong. And I had some negative experiences with Protestants and especially evangelicals who were really, really cruel people. And I've come to open my mind slightly, okay. But this class was my Zen space. For the most part, except for Paul, I still think he's a little bit of a peckerhead. But the feelings that I would leave here with afterwards, because I go straight from here to my boys where I go gaming, and it just gave me such peace. And I really, really appreciate that. And I wanted to say to you guys, yo, if you're ever in El Paso, come on by, man. We can go game or we can just hang out here. It's the best Mexican food in the world. So I just wanted to say thank you very much. You did open my eyes greatly. I still have a lot of questions. Read the card. Who knows if they'll ever get answered, but I want to say I really appreciate it and thank you guys very much.
Oh, we love you, Anne. Thank you. Brian, you have your hand up.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I was impressed by the amount of research that you did on all of the lessons, and you made Paul come alive. I see him differently now than the way I used to see him. I don't see him as much of a misogynist as I used to. And you made revelations make more sense, you know? And I like what you said. You don't necessarily have to take every word in there literally. Think about it, research it, talk about it with other people. This is what I've taken away from the class.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brian. It's just been such a wonderful thing to have you in here and for you staying all the way through everything that was going on in your life and just this been great. Rhonda, you have your hand up.
Okay. Yeah, just sort of like every study, every breakout session, Rhonda was sitting there quiet, and I'm not a quiet person, but so much and what everybody said. I'm not going to repeat it. I am going to miss all this community weekly, so let's make sure we stay in touch, which we will. But we all came from different backgrounds, and I would listen to all of you, and I'm like, your Bible knowledge, your knowledge was like way, way, way beyond me. Never, ever once did anyone make anybody else feel like you're not knowledgeable enough. We were all growing. We came in at different. We're still all very different, but never once did I ever feel like, oh, here I said this, or most time I'm quiet. I say that, and I'm like, why did I say that? Never once. And I mean, I love all of you. You're just the humor, okay, Woody, and of course Anne. She's.
The
Anna is Anne, but we all came, we all contributed, and I want to thank all of you. It's been great. It's been fun. And do I really have a takeaway? I don't know. I guess I feel more confident. I feel more confident knowing that I have questions. I still have questions. That's okay. I feel like I can approach my friends and others, and they like, wow, this is really, they make comments that they see a change in me. And I'm like, and like Mary said, we're the skin of Jesus, So anyway,
That's
thank
amazing.
you all.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Not yet. All right.
We have a bag of letters here for you. And we all these letters. And unfortunately, Julie had to go. And then we also have gift cards.
Holy
And
moly, wow.
yes.
Oh,
We were hoping you would do something fun with this in your spare time, like dancing.
I promise to use these for something fun. I promise for that these are taken as the gift that they are meant to be and will not be used to pay bills. Okay, this
Gail, we discussed this. We've been discussing this for what, Julia?
oh my
3 weeks?
weeks.
And
We're gonna try
we
it
went
all come
through.
together and
Oh, boy,
surprise
that'd
you.
be fun.
But we
Okay.
can
That's why we
pull it
were
off.
trying to get a meeting in the flesh kind of thing going on. But
Well,
that's why we were talking about getting you dancing shoes and
oh,
paying for
this is amazing.
your dancing classes or doing, we
Oh.
talked about all kinds of fun things that we could do for you. And we finally just settled on
I
doing just
love
giving you
this.
the money.
Just having this to just think about and anticipate and think about what might be fun, what it will be huge. And speaking of seeing each other in person, I, because of this class, and because we are scattered so far from one end of the US to the other, I have planned a big road trip next summer, in which I am going to go all the way around the United States, and I am going to come see you if you want me.
Oh my gosh.
My gosh, yes.
So it will
Wisconsin, you're
be
coming in.
between May and August. It will be during that time frame. I am taking my time. I am doing some bucket list things along the way that Shelby and I were not able to do together. But I am in the email, the class email today that has this recording will have a whole bunch of other stuff in it. You will see there will be a link to a form where you can put your contact information that will also give you a link to the class directory where we can keep our contact information updated. There will be a link, if you keep that email that you get from that, there is a button in there that says if you need to edit your response, like if you move, you can do that. There will be a link to a form where you can tell me if you want me to stop by and see you. There's about five questions I've got, like, where do you live? Do you want me to stay overnight or not? That kind of thing. And a link to my map of my itinerary. So you can see right now it's just got months. It's like I'll be in these places this month and these places that month. And it gives you a general idea of where I'm going, the route I'm going to take, and when approximately I will be there. And I will refine that as we go. You will also on the
It's
email.
Gail's missionary journey.
It is I should have put that. That's hilarious. No, it's not. It's my big trip. But it is kind of like, because that's what Paul did. He went around to encourage his folks that he already had taught. That's pretty funny. I had never even made that connection. Well, anyway, also in this email will be the links to our class playlist. You will find a link there to a Google Doc that has the comments that we all put. That to go with our songs and has the order of the songs in it. And I had to skinny down the descriptions, the comments some because I was limited by the platforms we were going to put them on. They had character limits. But I tried to keep the essence of what every single person said about their song. And you will find links also in this email to the playlist on Apple Music. The playlist on YouTube, which is terrible because it puts ads in between everyone. And the playlist on Spotify, thanks to Stephen, who has a premium account, he put it on Spotify for us. And
Oh, wonderful.
the thing with Spotify is if unless you have a premium account, it will shuffle the songs. So if you can, try to listen to it on Apple Music first, if you don't mind having an account with them, a free it's free. But if you can listen to it there, they're in order. But either way, the Google Doc has them in the order that I purposefully put them on the playlist. So anyway, enjoy those. I mentioned to you my rebranding, my new email address, and new website. The website currently just will immediately direct you to my existing website, but that will begin, it will begin to look a little different in the future. I don't want to have to keep paying for two of them. And maybe, at some point, oh, and there will be a separate link. I'm about to close this, but I'm going to do a slideshow. And then I'm going to have some closing remarks from me because I did not speak during that middle part. And I have some things I want to say to you. So there will be a link to the slideshow in it itself, all by itself, in addition to just the recording of this. So at this point.
Can I say one thing about the Spotify list real quick?
Yes.
So when I saw that Gail was going to do the playlist thing, I was like, not everybody uses YouTube, not everybody uses Apple. I got a Spotify account. I don't mind to share with people. So I was like, I sent Gail a message. I said, would you mind if I take when you get all of the songs together. Would you mind if I take that list and make the playlist so that we can have that as another avenue? Because that's what I personally use, because it's just easier. She was gracious enough to let me do it. And so for me, this is kind of like my gift to her and to you all for this class. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just learned about Spotify. My son put us on his account. He has a premium family account and put us on there. And, well, we're enjoying it. Gail really cut me off at a couple of songs.
I did. Okay.
Really looking.
So, yeah, I need to run the technology. Okay. All right. We are about to, I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to show you this slideshow, and then I'm going to come back and do my final comments. If any of you have to leave, know that I understand, that I love you. Bye, Rhonda. And bye. I will see you. Love you too. Bye-bye.
God be with you as you live your life today. And as you turn your thoughts His way, this I pray, God be with you, and in everything you do, may you see His love for you, He's always true, so God be with you. It doesn't matter where the skies are blue or gray, He's with you anyway. And though you feel sometimes your world is crumbling down, He'll never let you drown. So God be with you as you live your life today. And as you turn your thoughts His way, this I pray, God be with you, and in everything you do, may you see His love for you, He's always true, so God be with you. And when it feels like no one cares or understands, He knows you through and through. You may be thinking there's no answer to life's problems, He show you that's not true. So God be with you as you live your life today. And as you turn your thoughts His way, this I pray, God be with you, and in everything you do, may you see His love for you, He's always true, so God be with you. It doesn't matter where the skies are blue or gray, He's with you anyway. And though you feel sometimes your world is crumbling down, He'll never let you drown. So God be with you as you live your life today. And as you turn your thoughts His way, this I pray, God be with you, and in everything you do, may you see His love for you, He's always true, so God be with you. And when it feels like no one cares or understands, He knows you through and through. You may be thinking there's no answer to life's problems, He'll show you that's not true. So God be with you. as you live your life today, and as you turn your thoughts His way, this I pray, God be with you as you live your life today, and as you turn your thoughts His way, this I pray, God be with you, and in everything you do, may you see His love for you. He's always true, so God be with you.
Beautiful.
Yeah, sweet.
All right, I have one more bit to say. We have become so close as we've rambled through the Bible together. It is tempting to stay together to do more Bible studies. The possibilities are endless. Even just starting over would be just a completely different journey. I feel like I barely scratched the surface. But I've been researching and writing and teaching for 6 years. It is time for you to move on to a new teacher. It is not healthy to stay with the same one all the time. Take what you have learned. Take your backpack that is now stuffed with good quality tools for interpreting scripture and go be Sherpas yourselves. Participate in new classes and offer them new perspectives. You have so much to give. Over the years, I have made many mistakes. Some I caught and corrected, others I never even noticed. So I want to take these last few moments to say to you what I have been trying to convey all along. This is the main point. And that is that Jesus came to point us towards God. And like so many before him and after him, God equipped him for this work with signs and miracles, billboards to say, listen to him. He is speaking the words of God. But Jesus is so much more than anyone before or after him. Jesus is the living word of God. How fortunate we are to have him as our big brother. He is our good shepherd who counts each one of us into the sheepfold every single night. He comes after us if we lose our way. He is life itself, living water that flows through us, refreshing us, spilling over into the world. And he calls us to be, simply to be what we have been created to be. He calls us to lean into who we actually are, not what other people expect us to be. He beckons us to become true with a capital T by being completely plugged into God. If we can humble ourselves to the point that God's pure light is unfiltered by our own self-importance, we will become true. Jesus spent the Sermon on the Mount teaching us how to do this and spent his life and his death showing us how to do it. And if we can absorb this deeply into our hearts and let it become how we live our lives, then wherever we're present, what is warped and lying cannot pretend to be straight. Our very presence will reveal the lie. This is what judgment means, to see things how they truly are, unmistakable, undeniable. This is how we are the light of the world. And Jesus calls us to work alongside him in the vineyard in whatever capacity we're given. He said he himself on, simply does what he sees our Heavenly Father doing in any given situation. It's that simple. Love yourself. Love the ones you come in contact with daily. And above all, love God. God is bigger and more expansive and more merciful than we have ever imagined. We humans can be so small and mean. Our justice is aimed at punishment and vengeance. We so often want to hurt others the same way they hurt us. God feels that exact same pain. God has always felt our betrayals and our rejection. He gets it. But God's justice is not like human justice. The witness of Scripture is that God may well let us suffer the consequences of our choices, even terrible consequences, and even consequences we have no power to influence. People suffer the consequences of choices made by their nation and their family. We bear the natural consequences of choices made by the generations before us. But at any point, we ourselves can make new choices. And through it all, God stands scanning the horizon for us, waiting for his prodigal children to realize we've traded his rich feast for pig slops. And our current glorious destiny now in this world for slavery to money and indulgence. But when God sees us topping that distant hill, he comes running with the biggest hug imaginable, followed quickly by food and clothes and a big party. If God's judgment is showing things as they truly are, then God's justice is setting all things right, straightening what is bent, healing what is broken. God's justice sets things right for the perpetrator and for the victim, for the sinner and for the one sinned against, for us individually, for us collectively, and for all of creation. In God's justice, sin and death never have the last word. God's very presence, his utter holiness, his Holy Spirit is as a flame of purest fire. If God lives in us, that fire can be depended upon to burn away what is worthy only of the trash heap, to use Jesus' favorite metaphor of Gehenna, that ancient trash heap outside of Jerusalem. We are purified daily, constantly, by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. God does this for us. Our part is to let him. Our part is to trust him so much that we are willing to open the doors of the darkest, most shameful parts of our souls to him, knowing that although his holiness is a purifying fire, that fire will never destroy us. Even though we be burned down to our very foundation, we can be assured that our foundation was laid at our creation by Christ Jesus, and it will stand. And through it all, God is pouring life into us. God is all about resurrection. Jesus showed us that in the most graphic and literal way possible. Jesus is our, quote, kinsman redeemer, a Hebrew term, our brother, the one who in the Hebrew tradition has the legal right to buy us back from the slavery we've sold ourselves into. So when someone asks if you're sure you're going to heaven, I want your hand to shoot straight up in the air. Just as Jesus was resurrected, we are too. And if anything I have taught you is different than this, if anything I have said has landed otherwise, if anything we have discussed has made your steps falter,
Let it go. Set it aside. It is dross. Keep only what is life-giving and pure. Keep what is holy. This may feel like the end, but it is only the beginning. The invitation has been issued. The door is standing open. Enter in with joy. And so, in closing, I want to say a blessing over you with a slightly adapted excerpt from the second stanza of the poem Mother Wisdom Speaks by Kristin Lohr Weber. Some of you I will hollow. I will make you into a cave. I will carve you so deep the stars will shine in your darkness. You will be a bowl. You will be the cup in the rock collecting rain. I will do this because the world needs the hollowness of you. I will do this for the space that you will be. I will do this because you must be large, a passage. People will find their way through you. A bowl. People will eat from you, and their hunger will not weaken them to death. A cup to catch the sacred rain. Light will flow in your hollowing. You will be filled with light. Your bones will shine. The round, open center of you will be radiant. I will call you brilliant one. I will call you beloved who is wide. I will call you transformed. And now let us pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, this class has been a blessing to me beyond what I could have ever dreamed. I have so often been moved to tears by the beauty I see in this space and in these souls. May this blessing be returned, pressed down and running over to each and every one of these beloved friends who are the muscle and sinew of the body of Christ. May their cups overflow, and may goodness and mercy follow in their wake all the days of their lives. And may we dwell together forever in your home, in the place you have prepared for us. Amen.
Amen.
I love you.
Beautiful. Mm.
Thank you for all this, all that you have given to me, all that you've given to each other. Bless you going forward. Goodbye.
Thank you.